Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And obviously, after vacation, vacation's on my mind a bit. Still sort of mentally on vacation, that's for sure. But Laura, you took a vacation not long ago, and my vacation was very urban.
Yes.
New York City for 3 days, 4 days, 1 day of driving to get to Boston, and then Boston for another 3 or 4 days. We take city vacations way more than we take beach, relaxing, lake country vacations.
We're the same way.
City vacation.
Love it. In fact, your trip to New York and Boston is about my favorite two cities to travel to. So I'm highly jealous.
So this is the question we're asking you to pick a side at 651-461-9226. City vacations or beach vacations? We are city all the way. And it is hard for us, Laura, to take a relaxing vacation.
I know.
Because we're so used to, like,
doing stuff.
You want the stuff. That's why. And I have friends who never go. I'm sure some of our callers will enlighten us as to why they, like, going to the concrete jungle is the last possible thing they would want to do. Mm-hmm. But, oh, man, going to New York City and Boston, it makes me – I love where I live. But going to the East Coast makes me very jealous of the density on the East Coast.
Yes, me too. And I find – and we were just in New York in May. I find when I get there, it's kind of my happy place. Mm. And other people might think, oh, it's
stress.
Too crazy.
Too much noise. And, yes.
Yeah, I love it. It's like you just jump into the flow – and you're part of the action, and it just carries you along. It's just fabulous. I love the energy there.
Well, so, and I was just going to say, we kind of had something similar to that. We went to Los Angeles in June, and we can't do the beach because, like you said, I get bored. I need things to do, and we had something every day that we were doing within the confines of a city.
Mm-hmm. If people could see the skin tone of the three of us, perhaps it's obvious why we can't be laying out on the beach.
Avid endorsement.
Just like an avid endorsement. Now, we spent a lot of time outside. 651-461-9226. We need you to pick a side. Dream scenario, do you go on vacation to a big city or do you go to the beach? I worry that we've messed up our kids. Because we like cities,
yeah,
and this is what we've trained them to do.
Yes, me too.
So when they were little, New York was one of the earliest big city vacations.
Yep.
But we've been to New York with the kids. We've been to London. We've been to L.A.
Yeah.
We took them to Austin, Texas.
Yep.
That was a bad choice. Austin is really an adult. It's a 21-plus city.
Music stuff.
It's music. It's bars. Mm-hmm. The only sort of relaxing vacation we tried was Charleston, South Carolina.
Yep.
Which still, like, we would spend a couple hours at the beach and then go in the city. So I don't know if that really counts.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We have a happy family vacation place that we've been to several times that also is probably more for adults, but our kid has kind of grown up with us going to this, and that is Key West.
Ah.
And we do the old fly down to Miami, rent a car, and do the wonderful drive through the Keys, taking our time, stopping at all the quirky little places along the way. And then we are still getting a beach vacation out of it in the winter time, so that's great.
Oh, right.
But we don't go to the beach every day. There's so much else to do in Key West where you can maybe have a beach day or enjoy the pool at your hotel or wherever you're staying, little inn. And then there's fun little, you know, towny stuff to do. So I couldn't sit on a beach every day for a week, for sure.
651-461-9226. We'd love your calls. Lots of texts coming in. A lot of city fans on the text. I'm surprised. I thought Minnesotans, especially because of the, you know, up north lake culture, and we don't have a cabin up north.
We don't either.
Which, again, you wonder, I don't know, as a parent, part of parenting is just second-guessing everything you do.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
It's like, how much have I screwed up my kids because we don't have a cabin?
Right. Oh, same here.
Right?
Exactly.
And you hear it from them every once in a while.
Why don't we have a cabin? How come we don't do this?
But do you think some people consider the cabin, though, is like a mini getaway? That's why people are
100%.
Saying city.
They want to go to a city for
because
interesting.
Exactly.
Maybe
that's kind of what people are thinking here.
Yeah.
Maybe.
If we don't consider the cabin. It's like, oh, everybody can go to a cabin. You know, even if, like, I mean, nobody here owns a cabin, but you know somebody that's got one and you can use it like a timeshare.
Yeah. Yeah. So. True.
On Twitter, Betty says they both have their place. I love both, but I can't stand sitting in the sun. So that beach vacation would need a shady spot.
Yeah. Yep.
To sit and read. I get that. Now here's one I didn't think of. Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
The mountain vacation.
Yes, and I just did one of those in
July.
Now,
how did that compare to you, compared to a city vacation?
It doesn't compare, really. I mean, I
so
love the beauty and the landscape that you don't see anywhere else is fabulous. And the things to do there are different and fun. But it's just a different energy. So that was more relaxing for me. That was a trip where we actually stayed at a friend's place and kind of ventured out from there. So that was a little different. I would take New York City over just about any place, anytime.
651-461-9226. We like the beach, especially Maui, says one of our texters. Where nobody honks their horn.
Yes. That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
You know, I find the dulcet tones of a car horn, I find it soothing. I find it encouraging. I like the sound.
Yep.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Plenty of that.
I like New York, Boston. That worked out very well for me. Boundary Waters. What about the Boundary Waters? Now, I can't. My wife. And I'm blaming my wife. I should just own it for myself. My wife would never, 0%, would allow Boundary Waters.
When I was a family trip?
No way.
Yeah.
No way. Sleeping in a tent?
Oh, yeah. We're done with that, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To Alyssa, staying at like a 2-star hotel, that would be kind of slumming it.
That's pushing it.
That's roughing it for her.
Yes.
Yeah. She has said, she's like, we're done with super cheap hotels.
Yes.
Like, we don't take that many. I mean, I'm not complaining. Compared to some people, we take plenty of vacations.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, a lot of our vacations end up going to see family. We have family in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then our family, my wife's parents who live here, go to Scottsdale for the winter.
Mm, yeah.
So you know how that goes. You end up, the time that you think of as vacation time.
Yes.
Is really like, well, we have to go visit
it's
this
family
person.
Time. Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, we can talk about this another time, but after a family visit, you feel often you feel like I wish I were at work.
You need to decompress. I know. Yes. Family dynamics.
Sometimes it's exhausting, right? Let's talk to Jerry in Oakdale at 651-461-9226. Jerry, pick a side, city or beach.
Well, depends on the season.
Jerry, that's not the segment. Pick a side.
Okay, right now it's summer, so I would say the city. If it was winter, I would say the beach in Florida.
Jerry, you're a man after my own heart. I've spent 30 years or so playing both sides of almost every issue. I like it. Yeah, you're right, though, in the winter, and we have talked about this new job, right? You don't have to see me. So I could be talking in a microphone in who knows where in the winter.
Yep.
You may have me here, Jerry, because I'm not sure in the winter that I'm going to say, you know where I want to go? Boston. Probably not. Yeah. What's your favorite beach vacation you've gone on, Jerry?
Oh, probably down in Sarasota.
Oh,
Florida.
Yeah. I've never been to Sarasota.
Lido Beach. Or,
yeah.
Oh, it's a beautiful city. Great shopping, well kept up.
Cool.
And there's some really great hotels right on the beach. And you can get a room, actually, at Lido Key Hotel.
Right.
Right in the sand. Right in the sand is your patio.
Oh.
And it's great. I just love it.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Jerry, thank you for the call. Amy from Egan is ready to pick a side. Beach vacation or city vacation, Amy?
I'm sorry. I'm going to be a troublemaker also. I would like to file a complaint because you should have mountain in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's, you know, I mean, it's pick a side. I should have considered the third side of this option.
You should have. We play this game around the fire pit, but we don't even give city as an option. It's just beach. We usually say ocean or mountain. And I'm 150% mountain every time.
What is it about the mountain that calls you?
It's just, I'm in awe of the mountain. It's, you're going to get the water, but then you're going to get this glorious landscape. And oftentimes you're going to get the wildlife. And it's just, you can't make it up. It's just amazing.
Do you have a favorite mountain vacation you've taken?
We've been a number of times to the Grand Tetons and absolutely love them. Oh. But we've also been to Colorado and did Pikes Peak, and it was equally enjoyable. Mm. We've got to head east to the smaller mountains, but I'm sure they're just as beautiful.
We're planning a trip. We're trying to get out of our comfort zone, and we're planning a trip that I think you would support, Amy. Next year, we're going to go to Banff. And been sort of a bucket list. Very mountainous, but just stunningly beautiful.
Yep, do it, and then do the vote over, and we'll see what people say.
I like it. Fair enough. Amy, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I'm going to take a break. Mark, I hope you'll stay on the line and you can join in too at 651-461-9226. Pick a side, city versus beach, with an asterisk from Amy asking for mountain to be in the conversation. Fair enough with me. You just have to pick a side when we come back on CCO. We are in the middle of pick a side. Laura and I have come down on the side of city vacations, beach vacation, and mountain vacation. Now a late entry into the pick aside. Mark from Minneapolis is at 651-461-9226. Mark, pick aside.
City,
there we go. One of us.
I need to explain.
Okay.
My it is of Minnesota. We lived for 10 years in New Orleans. She loves the ocean, loves the beach. To me, it's because I grew up, grandparents, Lake Place, northern Minnesota. I want real sand. I want real mud between my toes. I want frogs. So going to the Gulf Coast, But cities, did Chicago this summer, the two of us. It was great. Planning on New York City next year, so city. But the whole beach thing, take the ocean out of the equation, that's back in the running.
Mark, I do think with New Orleans, you have a little bit of both, a little taste of both, right? The city and the beach, but it's not a great beach down there, is it?
No, you got to drive about 45 minutes into Mississippi to get some really nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, you saying you went to Chicago, and Laura, I'm always surprised how many Minnesotans have never been to Chicago.
To Chicago, yeah. Yeah, I am too.
It's really only from St. Paul, it's about a five and a half hour drive.
And sometimes you can find a super cheap flight for $50.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you just take the L right into the city and you're good to go. Yeah, I love Chicago, Mark. Of course, I grew up right in the suburbs there. But when you grow up in suburban Chicago, I'll say I've spent more time in the city of Chicago after moving away.
Yes.
Typical suburbanite, I guess. That's how that goes. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate the call. 651-461-9226. A castle vacation, someone suggests.
Ooh, wouldn't that be nice in Europe? Like a European old castle? I could dig that.
We did go when we were in London. We went to see the Harry Potter set.
Yes.
And that was pretty cool. That's not exactly a castle vacation, but yeah, it's, we were talking to the kids, our oldest hit, you know, kind of saying like, all right, what do you want to, what's the bucket list? Like if we were to do a post graduation, like one last family trip.
Yep.
And he was thinking Italy,
mm-hmm.
which would be cool.
That's what we're planning too. And our son gets to pick where we're going.
Yeah.
And he has grandiose visions of some,
yes.
some yeah. places that won't be happening. But
I know.
I think Italy's probably in there, maybe London.
I think, you know, you can, especially with the value right now of the dollar versus the euro,
mm-hmm.
it's relatively, I mean, it's certainly not affordable, right? But
right.
but if you're going to do a dream type trip,
yep.
that would be cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk to John from Minnetonka at 651-461-9226. John, pick a side, beach vacation or city vacation.
Well, I'm going to the beach. I love the beaches.
What's your favorite beach vacation you've taken?
There's an island. There was a guy called, he talked about Sarasota, but right north of Sarasota is a little town called Bradenton.
Mm-hmm.
And off of Bradenton is an island called Anna Marie Island.
Yes.
And I've been going there for the last 30, 40 years. It's just a laid-back island. You can't have houses taller than the palm trees. And the beaches are really soft.
Oh, that sounds really great. That sounds great. John, yeah. thank you. Go ahead.
The other thing is a lady talked about the mountains. And the reason I called you, I'm leaving next Tuesday for Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado.
You're going to hike Beautiful. Through that? That'll be amazing.
Yeah, and then we're going to end up in Durango and take a short, a narrow gauge railroad 8-hour trip. So. It'll be nice.
That sounds great. Have fun, John. We appreciate the call. Let's talk to Sherry from Bay City, Wisconsin. Sherry, your turn to pick a side, beach vacation or city vacation. Is this Sherry? Or do I have Pat? Or Shelley? Who am I talking to? Can you hear me? I think maybe we've lost that one, Chris. Who should we go to next? Should we try, let's try our Shelly from Freeport. Shelly. Let's see if we get Shelly on the air. Shelly, you're on.
Hello.
Hi, Shelly, you're on Drive Time. Pick a side for us, beach or city.
Well, I'm picking the mountains.
Oh, so many mountain
Jason,
people.
Yes.
I clearly have framed this question incorrectly,
yes.
Shelly. The listeners
I'll
are right.
I'll tell you why. We are actually leaving Friday with our horses out to the Black Hills.
Oh, wow.
And we will do a pack trip. We go on our own. It's the Centennial Trail. And we actually pack sleeping bags, hammocks, and our food. And we have a friend that brings his extra mule. We pack the mule, and we sleep in hammocks at night.
Oh, wow.
That sounds cool.
That sounds so cool.
We traveled 85 miles. It is awesome.
Shelly, the first time you did that, were you a little nervous about kind of sleeping in a hammock or no?
Well, a little bit. Actually, the trail itself can be a little scary. That was the first hurdle. But it's
narrow? Are they narrow? Is that kind of windy and narrow?
Some are. You cross over some pretty big rock.
Oh.
You go down some pretty steep, you know, hillside. But it's so amazing when you come down one mountainside, start traveling back up the other side, and you look across and you see that you have come down that giant mountain.
Oh,
it is just, it's hard to explain, but it's mountains. They're awesome.
Shelly, I would love it if you would send us a picture from your trip.
Definitely can do that.
That just sounds so magical. Really cool. Have fun. Thanks, Shelly. I appreciate it. Pat from Wilmer, you get the last word on pick a side, beach or city vacation or mountain. So
beach.
Many. So you go beach.
Beach.
What's your favorite? Go ahead.
It's not like a fancy beach. We go to a lake. Every year, my family goes to a lake resort in northern Minnesota on the Third Crow Wing. My siblings, their kids, and now the grandkids all come. And we have a great week, sit in the sun, visit, catch up, yet everyone has their own cabin. So there's no family bickering or those kinds of things. And it's just our kids have grown up close. The cousins have grown up close. It's just a really neat time. And sometimes the weather's crappy. Sometimes it's good. But,
right. But it's that time together.
Right. I mean, we got kids in New Mexico and Colorado, Utah.
And they all come back.
Minnesota and Michigan. They all come back, and now they're bringing their kids, and the kids are getting to know each other.
Oh.
And, you know, and how many kids know their, like, second cousin?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really nice.
Pat, that's really great. Thank you. That's a great place to end it. I'm Pick Aside. Thanks to everybody for all their input. 4:33, we'll do weather and traffic in just a minute on CCO. The number one topic of conversation between my wife and I and our teenagers is probably about their phones. Well, to be honest, it may be my wife telling me to get off my phone. The digital world, social media, there's no putting the toothpaste back in the tube. Your kids are going to be on it. It is part of the future. It is part of the present. It is a reality. But knowing how to navigate that reality is really hard and really stressful. And so one of the nation's experts on this is a researcher at Project Zero at Harvard. She's a lecturer at the Graduate School of Education. Dr. Emily Weinstein is with us here on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Emily, thanks for joining us on CCO.
Thanks for having me.
Star Tribune did a great column based on your work this weekend. So I wanted to talk to you directly because the book you co-authored, Behind Their Screens, What Teens Are Facing and Adults Are Missing, starts with a really provocative premise, which is basically that we as adults sort of don't really understand what's going on with our kids.
It's true. My co-author, Carrie James, and I have been studying teens and screens for over a decade. I'm a psychologist. Carrie's a sociologist. And in this book, what we share what we learned from our recent study with more than 3,500 teenagers about how they navigate the digital world and what they most wish adults understood. And frankly, their stories stopped us in our tracks. We wrote this book to reveal what teens are facing and ultimately to break down what's myth, what's reality, and how to have better conversations with the teens in your life.
What stopped you in your tracks? What was some of the surprising elements that you didn't expect?
One thing that we hadn't really appreciated is a kind of hidden toll of the current adolescent mental health crisis. It's on many of our radars. We're aware of rises in depression and anxiety, but a reality of more widespread mental health issues among teens is that even if a teen is not personally struggling, they are more likely than ever to have someone in their network or in their peer group who is. And social media has made it so that teens are seeing posts from others that raise a lot of puzzles about whether, when, and how to respond. Teens told us that they're feeling tremendous pressure to be available for friends who are struggling, and that this can be really hard when friends are saying to them, I really need you, and parents are simultaneously saying, get off your phone.
Wow. You know, I ran into that with one of my own kids who had a friend, and this was sort of middle school, a friend who was going through a mental health crisis, and it was incredibly stressful for my kid who had to navigate that, you know, at a really young age. I think this was seventh or eighth grade, and you think, this is tough stuff that kids, boy, what an interesting point, this idea that you're feeling mental health stress and anxiety, even if you yourself aren't in the throes of depression, because someone you know probably is.
Without a doubt. Huh. And we just heard that story you described about your daughter again and again and again from teens.
Yeah. What do kids want from us as adults? What do they want us to say or to do? Because I think as adults, you also understand that when your kid is in front of the screen for a long period of time, it affects them. They're not as upbeat, usually. They're not as present in conversations. They're not always as focused. I guess I see the good and the bad, but the bad side of it is something that you definitely are aware of as a parent.
For sure. And I mean, I'm a parent, Carrie is too. We really feel that. And there's a long list of things teens wish adults understood.
That's been true as long as...
Enough to fill a book.
Yeah, yes, yes.
So one big one that fits into that screen time piece you were just talking about is that observing teens on their phones can certainly make it seem like all they want is for us to leave them alone and so that they can just be on their phones all the time. But teens told us again and again really clearly that they do not want to feel dysregulated or like they can't control their habits. They said things like, the app TikTok runs my life, or I don't know why, I just can't seem to get off social media even when I want to. For sure, we know that design features are keeping them looking at their screen. So there's a reason that tech companies are using features like infinite scroll so you never reach the end of your newsfeed, or notifications that activate a neural response and this curious impulse to just check right away. We're all vulnerable to these designs, but the reality is that the developmental pulls are really amplified for teens. And so they need us to really help them in this way. And so often we as adults get stuck in this adults versus teens battle over screen time where we are like the referee who just blows the whistle when they do something wrong or they have had too much time. We're just in this position of calling them out when they misstep. But teens told us that they really need their parents. They need help and they need us to be more like coaches where we're really helping them strategize around the tough stuff. Before an issue comes up and when they're in it, trying to really navigate the hard plays they're facing.
We're talking with Dr. Emily Weinstein, the author of Behind Their Screens, What Teens Are Facing and Adults Are Missing. COVID for me was very eye-opening, Emily, because, you know, you worry about your kids with, well, all you do is worry about your kids, even if they're great kids or not great kids. I think all parents, we worry. But, you know, you used to have, I guess I had this idea that there was a, you know, too much playing video games was a bad thing. And I played video games as a kid and I play games on my phone. COVID showed me that my kids and video games and the internet, it really was a way that they stayed in touch with their friends. I mean, we stopped complaining about them playing games because we hear them laughing and talking to their friends while they're gaming. It's so different than when we were kids playing alone, sort of the multiplayer aspect of things. This is very much in many ways how kids are hanging out with their friends. They may spend more time with their friends than you or I did when we were younger.
I know, and it's an essential realization, what you just described, which is that screen time is not just one thing that's impacting kids the same way all the time or impacting all kids the same, you know, the same way. We heard again and again from teens, and we saw this up close, that there are tremendous differences between an hour of screen time where you're laughing and hanging out with your friends and feeling incredibly connected and an hour of screen time that leaves you feeling like your life doesn't measure up or you're not good enough or you're really isolated. And actually tuning into those differences, what our kids are doing during screen time and how they feel as a result of it, completely changes the way we think about navigating these decisions around kids and phones.
Is your sense that as parents, we need to spend more time kind of discussing in a positive way, like what's going on with our kids and their on life, the same way we might have a conversation about, you know, what did you learn in your social studies class today? Or do we need better ways of kind of managing and building fence posts about it?
Probably both. Teens told us they are itching to have different and better conversations with all the people in their lives, with their friends and with their parents and with their teachers and coaches around technology. But so often when we only ask about the negatives, they become even more hesitant to share what's hard for them because they worry that it will only confirm our worst fears. And so we end up inadvertently sort of shutting down the most important conversations. And if instead we pivot and we ask them what's great and we're open to hearing that, and then we also ask them what's hard, they understand that we see the complexity of this landscape that they're in, and it really changes the way that they will open up to us.
My kids just taught me while we were on vacation in your town about Be Real, that new app where you get a notification on your phone and you have 2 minutes to take a picture of wherever you are. So it's interesting how, like, you know, as soon as you think as a parent, like, all right, I got a handle on TikTok, now it's like, all right, be real. But it's kind of fun. Like, I see why my kids like it.
Yeah, in many ways, we are just chasing a constantly moving target when it comes to teens and technology. There feels like there's always a new app. And we're hearing a lot from teens about Be Real, too. It's a great one to ask your teens about. And as with so many other social media platforms, we've heard really varied experiences. Some teens describe how that push to post a picture in the moment from Be Real feels much more real and authentic. Others describe how that ping has come every day at a time when they're alone or embarrassed of what they're doing. And it's almost been like a notification that their lives are not what they want them to be. And so recognizing that it really can go both ways is just so important.
Yeah. Really good stuff. The book is called Behind Their Screens. Dr. Emily Weinstein, we appreciate you being with us on CCO.
Thank you so much for having me.
So interesting. 4:50, we take a quick break here on Drive Time with DeRussia. It is 76 right now in downtown Minneapolis. Tomorrow, high of 78. Wednesday, same deal. Same weather both days, about a 20% of scattered showers. You're listening to Drive Time with DeRussia. And we want to remind you to subscribe to the podcast. Get it on Odyssey, iTunes, or your favorite podcast providers. CBS News coming up in just about 2 minutes.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.